Hi, this is Dan Melton. Thanks for joining us for this podcast of St. Andrew's Weekly Message. I hope you enjoy it. I encourage you to listen through the words to what God is saying to you, and may the peace of God be known through your life this week. This message series called a Spiritual Tune-Up, which I sort of thought about as reorienting us for 2023, continues on. I keep finding new things to talk about, so I'm going to continue it through Lent. And today we're going to be talking about acting. Of course, part of knowing what to do is knowing what not to do. And I did offer to the praise team that since I wasn't playing, I could be doing some interpretive dance during the songs this morning. And they suggested that maybe that would be something that I not do today. So there are some things you cannot unsee, and I think that's what they were worried about. So probably a good call on their part. I could probably write a book someday about the intersection of spirituality and Costco. Costco is a warehouse discount store, and this book would have joyous moments, tragic moments, probably moments of impatience, consumerism, maybe good stewardship. One day I had sort of an unusual experience there. I think some of you may have heard this story before. I darted in for some items that Julie asked me to get. We have a regular list of items that we get from there, either because we save money or they have organics at a good price or something like that, or some indulgences that we like. Among other things that day, I purchased a rotisserie chicken, a Costco rotisserie chicken, which is, I think, what we call a loss leader for them. They don't charge very much for it. I think it gets you in the store to get it. They're always piping hot. There's always aroma coming off it. And in our family, as a busy family, it's sort of become its own food group. There are fruits, vegetables, Costco rotisserie chicken, meats, you know. Because when we get to, you can turn it into anything. You can turn it into anything. When we don't know what to do, we stand in front of the refrigerator, we say a little prayer, and then nachos or chicken salad or something like that just sort of materializes. It's amazing. So we love these. I checked out of the store with my rotisserie chicken, and of course, again, it's piping hot. I was loading my chicken and other groceries into the back of the car. And while I was doing this, someone came up to me to beg for food or money. And I thought, I'm in a hurry. I don't want to do this. I don't have time for this. And I hate saying no. I feel uncomfortable. And I try to practice what I preach. And so all of a sudden, I'm in this decision-making, evaluation, discernment process. Is this person for real? Is this person looking for money so that they can feed an addiction that happens? Or is this person truly hungry? So he started his talk about what was going on in his life, and he said his wife was walking through the parking lot as well. She was limping. She had her foot in a boot or a cast or something. I'm squinting at her and going, is that real? Is she really limping? Is that what's really going on here? So he was telling me his story. He said, we're not homeless, but I'm out of work. We're staying at this cheap hotel down the street, and we don't have enough money for food also. So I, you know, directed him to the shelters, and he said, yes, we know about them. We have visited them. My wife is having a hard time walking, and I don't think we can make it downtown again. Had he been faking, I think that the story might have been a little more dramatic. But I don't know. He could have been faking. But anyway, as I was going through this, you know, discernment process, this voice in my head said to me, and I think it was my voice, but it could have been inspired by the Holy Spirit. The voice said to me, just give him the chicken. Just give him the chicken. Now, I had already bonded with this chicken. Like, I reached two rows back to find the big one. And it smelled so good as I was loading it up, but the voice kept up, and he continued to talk and talk and talk and talk. And I thought, well, if someone's swindling people out of money so they can go feed an addiction, that's one thing, but it's hard to hurt somebody with a rotisserie chicken. So I reached over and I pulled it out, and while he was talking, I just handed it to him as he continued to talk. Well, his face lit up. I mean, it looked like Christmas morning. He beckoned his wife over. She looked at him. He's waving the chicken over his head. And he was really happy and really grateful. And then I got to feel gratitude. I felt really grateful because I got to experience the joy of acting on my faith and actually practicing compassion in a palpable way. Well, this faith thing, it's one thing to hear it. It's one thing to say, to articulate it, but it's another thing to put it into practice. In the epistle of James, we read, "Be doers of the word and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they're like people who look at themselves in a mirror. They look at themselves and when they go away, they immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing." Okay, so let's backtrack a little bit. Let me explain a little bit of what I think is going on. In the New Testament, one of the things that's happening is the writers are grappling with the stunning implications of the resurrection of Jesus. If Jesus is the resurrected Messiah, what does that mean? What does that mean for the laws of Moses? What are we to do with those? Does anything change? What do we do with the priestly system of sacrifices by which we thought we were made right by God? Doesn't what the Messiah did supersede all of that? So lots of thinking about this, and it really can't be overstated. Some of the New Testament writers are emphasizing, and this would be really the Apostle Paul, the role of faith and grace. Paul talks about being saved by grace through faith in Ephesians chapter 2. And so Paul is basically saying, he actually uses Abraham as the test case for this in Romans. He says, now wait a second. Before there was a priestly system, before there was a temple system, before there was ever a temple at all, before there was a Mosaic law, there was Abraham, and he was justified by faith. And God counted that as righteousness to him. And he uses that to go through what's a fairly convoluted argument to kind of place the law of Moses in its place of history as a continual guide for our morality, but not something that we can use to justify ourselves before God. So Paul emphasizes faith. He emphasizes grace, saved by grace through faith. James comes in and says, yes, that is so, and let's talk about the other side of the coin. Faith leads us to good deeds. Good works are what make our faith real. You can't have a faith without doing anything about it. Faith without deeds is like vaporware. It's all talk, it's no show. So that's part of what's going on, this what we call a dialectic or dialogue between James, who we think of as the leader of the Jewish church, and Paul, who is himself Jewish and trained as a Pharisee, but as the missionary to the Gentiles, the non-Jews. Lots going on there. James has a point. What good is our faith if we don't do anything with it? Is it real? If we say we believe it, but we don't act on it, can we point to that and say it's real in some sense, like abstract sense? Well, yeah, I believe that, but I don't act on it. Well, that doesn't track very well. So I'm reflecting on that back that day in the Costco parking lot, and I'm like, wow, that was a time I think about I did something. Now, here's the thing. I didn't do very much at all. Those rotisserie chickens are like $5. I went right back in, bought another one, took it home. Like, it was a very small sacrifice, transient, really more of a teaching moment for me, if anything. There are brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who do good deeds and make sacrifices that dwarf that little teaching moment for me. Pastor Amy Sherman wrote about a woman, I'm going to call her Nicole. There's a Lithuanian pronunciation of this, but she was a Christian who was severely persecuted for her faith under communism. She was arrested in 1974 for publishing underground reports of persecution of Christians throughout the Soviet bloc, and she was eventually exiled to Siberia. There was a book about her entitled A Radiance in the Gulag, talking about her character and the radiance that came from her as she was suffering in the gulag. As her suffering became known, a large number of believers, Christian believers, knew about her plight. They sent her care packages while she was in exile. It was against the law, but the communist guards made her pay to receive the packages, so the guards broke the law. She eventually got them. Prisoners in exile had to work. They had a little bit of salary, not very much. It was a slavery salary designed to keep them in slavery, 75 rubles a month. Their housing cost 20. they were sometimes made to pay over 45 rubles to accept packages or to send them. So she's living on subsistence. But time and time again, what she did was she took the packages that people sent her to encourage her. She paid for them with her meager subsistence, and then she repackaged them and mailed them to other Christians in other parts of the Soviet bloc that she believed were suffering more than she was. Amazing. And the guards and the postal officials would see this, and they couldn't make any sense out of this. And occasionally they would ask her, like, what's up with you? And Nicole would reply that she just wanted to help her impoverished brothers and sisters in Christ who are suffering. Someone once asked her, well, if we were ever put in jail, her oppressors, if we were ever put in jail and you learned of that, you would send us your care packages, right? Kind of almost mocking. And she would said, yeah, I would. If I knew your address, I would send you my packages. Nicole wasn't posturing. She wasn't just saying, well, I'm a Christian, I have this faith. She actually demonstrated it by putting it into action. Unbelievable. Unbelievable what our brothers and sisters in Christ will do when they are under duress and their character and their faith is real. They will act on it, act on it, act on it, act on it. What we do telegraphs to the world who we really are versus who we think we are. All of us walk around with an idea of who we think we are. What we telegraph to the world demonstrates who we are. Who we really are. We can say one thing about what we believe, the doing proves that we mean it. It's the proof that we mean it. So recently I heard an interview with Roger Waters. Anybody know who Roger Waters is? From the famous iconic rock band Pink Floyd. And in this interview he was talking about his mother. Now both he and his mother, he's an atheist, his mother was also an atheist. Waters is known for his social activism, and he got some of his passion for justice issues from his mother, who raised him alone. His mother was quite socially active. I believe she was a teacher. His mother sat him down one day and said, look, throughout your life, you are going to come across difficult issues, life issues, political issues, social issues, and you're not going to know what to do sometimes. And when that happens, I'm going to give you a piece of advice, she said. When that happens, you need to read, 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 read. You need to learn everything you can about that issue, and not just one side of it. When there's a difference of opinion, you have to learn about both sides, and you have to understand both sides to the best of your ability. It takes time, it's hard, it's a lot of work. But after you've done that, the work is done. You've done all the heavy lifting. The rest of it is easy. And Roger Waters said that he looked up at his mother and said, the rest of it? What's the rest of it, Mom? She looked at him and said, the rest of it? That's simple. You do the right thing. You do the right thing. That's not bad advice from our atheist friends. And as Christians, we have access to an immense amount of wisdom and inspiration that we can get from the scriptures and one another as the Holy Spirit speaks through us and to us and teaches us. Here's the good news. It's actually easy sometimes to do good works. It's not easy to do good works all the time. It's not easy to be morally perfect. And I don't hear James say, just wave a magic wand, you'll be there tomorrow. I don't think he thinks in those terms, but I think we can practice doing the good works that Jesus teaches. Living in this mindset every day, I have this belief, I'm going to do something about it. I have this belief, I'm going to do the right thing. I don't have to do sweeping good, Mother Teresa scale good works tomorrow and good deeds tomorrow. I can work up to it. I can practice it. I'm not going to be perfect tomorrow. I'm going to miss opportunities. But I can start giving chickens away. It's not that hard. It's not that hard. And it can be so fun and rewarding, and it can change lives to act on our faith, to do the right thing in the name of Jesus. So let's pray for God to lead us and help us grow and inspire us to act on what we believe. Almighty God, we thank you for this counterpoint we have in the New Testament, Paul declaring our liberty, that we're saved, not by what we do, that we never can earn our way to God, that it's always an act of God's grace that we receive through faith. We thank you for that message of liberty for the Apostle Paul, and we thank you for this reminder from James. It reminds us, yes, if that process, if that's happening in your life, you're going to do something about it. You're going to act on it. You're going to live it. Almighty God, as we seek to live it this week, we pray that we would bless others with the goodness of your love. There's a reason it's called the good news in the New Testament, because it's truly good news that Christ is risen. We have access to God, and that as we have access to God, it shapes us and causes us to want to do good and have compassion. Teach us to act on our faith this week, to be in practice, dear God, a little bit every day until we continue to grow in the fullness of what it means to know you through your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen.
Amen.